Bless.
Welcome to Ask the Pastor with Jim Simmons and Charles Lyons, the program that provides great Bible teaching and the opportunity to ask your questions. Our guests are some of the most fascinating Christians in cinema, writing, and various professional fields. Now, be a part of Ask the Pastor.
Good evening and welcome to Ask the Pastor Now. I'm Jim Simmons, and remember, life is meant to have purpose, so join us. Have you ever seen NASA or SpaceX launch a rocket? They have something in common. Have you ever seen them launch a rocket sideways? How about upside down? How about this? In the spacecraft they use, is there a gear shift? And if so, is there a reverse? There might just be a reason there is no reverse. Before we begin our lesson from the Bible, God's Word, let's talk a little about space travel. In fact, speaking of spaced out, I think this might be a good time to join the pastor of Ask the Pastor Now, Dr. Charles Lyons. Pastor, something more. Happy birthday to you.
Oh, thank you so much. That's most appreciated. It really is. And take me a lot of years to earn that tune. I tell you, that was very good. I mean, you should start releasing.
When can I get some help lifting these candles over here for the birthday cake? Oh, that's heavy. That's a lot of candles.
Fire truck said they'd be here about 10 o'clock. We can light up the candles. You know, they waited late because they thought it would be real exciting for the people in the neighborhood to light up the night sky that way. So NASA, I understand, is also trying to ask the International Space Station to look for it, see if they can see it from the sky, you know, space.
I bet the satellite can track it. How you feeling? Are you feeling wiser, older and wiser?
A virtual wise guy. Who could ask for more than that, you know?
Hey, wise guy, yeah.
You know why they call it a virtual? It's because it's not for real. Don't be confused.
Gotcha.
That's right. I always remember what I had one doctor say when I went to visit him. He said, "Wow." You know, and so that was truly an inspiration. Don't want your doctor to say when he's looking at the test results, you know, it's like,
never seen that before.
Yeah. The other good line came from my roommates at college. I had gotten real sick on one occasion. They took me to the doctor, and we were coming back from the doctor. He was on the top floor of a medical building. We got in the elevator. Elevator goes down to the floor. When it stopped, I didn't. I went straight to the floor. And I remember on the way down to the floor hearing both of my roommates say to each other, "I thought you had him." So, you know, that was a great comfort to me as I went, you know, right on the floor. You know, sometimes fever will take a little something out of you, and apparently it had me.
I think so.
But fortunately, I had wise roommates. I remember the one said, "Don't worry, Charles, we're calling some old people right now from the church." And I'm thinking, what? He said, "Yeah, we figure if they made it to being old, then they must have good doctors." So, and I thought, well, there's a certain logic there you can't argue with, especially if you're running a high fever. So it's been interesting getting here, and who knows how many centuries are out there ahead of me. That's the thing about having eternal life. You know, you don't really look to wind things up. You know, just keep on going for that next challenge. And so that's fairly exciting. Speaking of challenges, you put some stuff out there. You had launching sideways rockets, upside down rockets, and reverse gear shifts. Have you been having a tough day, or have you just spent all your time, you know, warming the voice up for that great song and, you know, got a little hyperventilated? What's going on there?
I didn't want to say this, you know, until we got on the air, but I actually started quite early this morning saying things like T-minus 60 minutes to showtime, and T-minus 10 minutes to showtime, and then, of course, the launch. And, you know, we've seen the sound effects. I miss sound effects. We could have had a rocket lifting off this morning. That would have made it even better. But I thought the focus, not only spacecraft and space travel and You know, you brought this up at one of our earlier programs, and I hate calling ours a show because I don't think it's a show like we think of where people put together and we perform. No, this is a program, and it's got a purpose and a theme to honor God. But I remember you putting this up in one of the programs where we talked about the president's new space command or new Space Force. I'd love for you to just touch on that again because I think that's exciting. I think it's a departure from what the government typically is. I think our president has stepped out and done some things that are absolutely rethinking this nation, and he stirred up a lot of folks in what we believe and fake news. And isn't it interesting, even our local television programs, they're having a section now saying, and so anytime you see something on the web, anytime a tweet, an email, or whatever those different things are,
he says,
contact us and we will verify. So now they're reacting, and the public is seeing not everything that you read is true and accurate, and it's also a way for the enemy to stir up misconceptions and create doubt. But here our president has stepped out. Talk about that space command.
Yeah, I mean, I do think that's funny. I've seen that same advertisement on the news. And the fun part about that, that's sort of like, you know, asking the biggest liar you know to say, tell me, is this true? You know, it's like, yeah, that would be the one I'd want to verify the truth. But, you know, if, for those of you who didn't know, you can have more than four ways to lie. I know that because we have more than four networks. Space Command, it's funny. There actually used to be an old program on, and I think sometimes they still run it on early Saturday mornings. That was actually called Space Command. And,
I thought you were going to say the Jetsons. Oh, man, is that back?
No. It is, as a matter of fact, on one of our stations. They're local. They're bringing back the Jetsons. And probably now we're going to watch it disappointed and say, oh, we got that. We got that. But, you know, Space Command is what the president's doing with that is quite amazing and quite logical. You know, there was a time when everybody said, well, we'll never put anything up there. Everybody agreed, let's not do that. And, you know, one of the issues our current people have, even trying to, you know, reload supplies to the International Space Station, is all the debris that is in space, all the stuff they've left up there. So maybe they should have thought bigger than just saying, let's not put rockets up there, let's not put junk up there. Everything from, like, missing wrenches to just pieces that came off of aircraft. And so it's quite a debris field in that area. But Space Command, the idea being that we do want to have some sense of how do we prepare for space and be a little more aggressive about that. It really has been just sort of focused on what can you afford and let's just do the science of it. But at the end of the day, you need to know if people are being accurate about all the things we need as a nation, then space is a good asset. And also lower space, when you think about it, there is such a huge amount of area in the oceans that is left virtually uncharted. You say, well, I thought they could navigate, go anywhere they want in the oceans. Yes, but not under the oceans. That is an incredible vast landscape that in some ways remains untouched as a good thing, and other ways there's just so much there. The pressures are unbelievable at that depth, but then yet the mysteries of space are equally unfathomable. At the end of the day, when you really think about it, doesn't that just scream how awesome is our God, that he could create these things in such balance? You know, I said to a group I was teaching last night once again, I said, you know, I'm sorry, I just never will have enough faith to be an atheist. I can't make that leap that it just happened, you know, that I can't buy that. There's such incredible balance and organization. You know, the rotation of the Earth, the path of the Earth, you know, if it was a degree in either direction, that, you know, that would be sufficient to stop all human life. Isn't it good it accidentally landed in the right position? No, it's, it doesn't work like that. Come on. We're blasting rockets and, you know, lighting up forests and all kinds of stuff every day. And we keep right on breathing. It's amazing.
Pastor,
Tell me something.
To me. It's interesting to me you brought up something, how God hung Earth just far enough away from the sun, and you touched on it, because I think, and I would love to have a grade on this, I think it is a 23-degree tilt, and that gives us the seasons. So if it had been 24 or 23, it would not have been adequate or sufficient. But isn't it amazing that the Earth is just close enough to keep us from freezing and just far enough to keep us from being French fries? And I just think that's only one very small area. First thing I'd ask you, Pastor, you're a doctor of theology. You understand things that I'll never understand. You've studied more than I could ever do. I'm not going to live long enough to catch you, so you're safe. But can you tell me, how does gravity work? Can you just take a second and tell us about that?
Very well. That's how it works. It works very well. I've discovered that anytime
Thank
I'm trying
you.
To get up out of bed. You know, it's flawless. It just holds me down, and, you know, that's why I move the coffee pot to beside the bed. It's just, if you're going to be
that's
here a
while.
That's
why you're the doctor, you're the pastor, you're Dr. Lyon.
That's right.
And I'm
I have these deep answers for you like that. Two doctorate. And that's what you get. Very well.
Yeah. One, but
if you don't mind, I'm going to actually.
I'm still working on a GED.
I'm going to segue, not that I'm going to jump on one of them little funky stands, but I'm going to segue back to our topic, if you don't mind, for just a moment before we use up all of our time. Let me see. Sideways rockets and upside down rockets. For those who are curious, no, upside down rockets are not what they're launching in the Australian space program, you know, because they're on the other side of the Earth. Which also begs the other question. When they launch, you know, most of these rockets develop a spin. So would they spin in the opposite direction when they take off from Australia? Reverse gear shifts, you know. Why a reverse gear shift? It's the nature of spacecraft that is designed to go out into space. It's not designed to, we changed our mind, let's go back. No, it's commitment. Mm-hmm. It is a launch. It has direction. It has purpose. And really, that's what we're going to start talking about, is this idea of, if you have direction, if you have a purpose, you know, one of the things that if I'm going to get on a spacecraft and you're going to launch me up into space, one of the things I'm going to want is a good GPS. I mean, you know, I don't know how well it'll work in outer space, but I want some navigation tools. I want to know that I can get where I'm going, because it sort of adds some fun to the trip to know you're going to arrive, you know. And if you can make it a round trip, that's not so exciting. But, wow, the journey is amazing. And so before we jump in there and talk about this journey and how do you navigate to where you're going, Jim, why don't you get us started off in prayer?
Absolutely. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Father, for this opportunity to come together to worship you and to study your word. Father, you've told us in Scripture that you desire a personal, intimate relationship with each and every one of your, and you've called us this, your children. And the love you have for us is, we cannot even measure it. We cannot even describe it. But Father, you love us so much. You have provided all that we need, and things that we don't even think about are in place to protect us, to provide for us, and to comfort us, and to give us what we need on earth to survive until you take us back home. Father, we love you. We thank you for your plan of salvation. You've given us the assignment to go out to the uttermost parts of the world. I think, Pastor and Father, you would just, the disciples had to look at each other like, this is a big world. You want us to go out there? But, Father, you gave us telephones. You gave us radio, television, and now the internet so that we could do the job you gave us. Not only do you command us to go forth, but you give us and enable us the materials necessary to accomplish that. So, Father, we're just in awe of you. We love you. We thank you that you are still on the throne. You are still in control. We ask you to superintend this program. Use it, Father, to reach someone that's out there, untethered, needs to be drawn in and come close and know that you are God. We love you in the name that's above all names, the name of our Lord and Savior, our Messiah, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Amen. I'm sorry, you got me totally distracted. You were doing so good, and then you said untethered, and I was back in space. I said, untethered, that's probably not a good thing.
No, tell me, not. You're not saved. You're untethered.
You're untethered, yes. Get back in here. Now, you enjoy travel. So what would be a most memorable journey for you as you traveled?
Pastor, that was a few years ago. I never thought this would happen. You know, I've been through the Bible several times. One time through the Bible, Pastor, it just, and Sonia, my wife, was very instrumental in helping me learn some things in the Bible that I had never really paid attention to. She gave me a Bible atlas. And I recall one of the passages through my favorite King James version of the Bible. I've had it so many years. Had it rebound. I love my Bible. That's the most important thing outside of my family. But she gave me this atlas. So every time I saw a city, a country, a river, a mountain, I highlighted it. And then one time we decided that we were going to take that trip. It's expensive, but we saved the money and we went on a trip to the Holy Land. One of the most incredible adventures of my life, and I recommend it so highly if you can muster the coins to go do this. But we landed in Tel Aviv in Israel, and we got to tour the Holy Land. We went down to the Dead Sea, Pastor, actually floated in the Dead Sea. You can't drown in the Dead Sea because everything floats. It's such a heavy water, and it's so full of chemicals and elements, and it's used throughout the world for skin treatment. It's just a wonderful elixir. But Masada, we saw years ago a movie about Masada and the story of Masada right there on the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea Scrolls, we stopped and saw where those were discovered. Jerusalem, went through the city. And we actually went out on the Sea of Galilee and had prayer, had some silent time on it. Wonderful trip. That was probably our most exciting trip in our life, Pastor.
That is awesome and wonderful and inspiring. I'm so thankful for that, for you to have that opportunity. Let me ask you another question. You and Sonia are there. You're on board the plane. The seat belts are in place, and you know trays are in their upright position. And the excitement builds. The lights flicker as they switch off of airport power to their own internal power. And the jet taxis, backs away, and then taxis out into the runway position. And at that point, the pilot gets on the intercom, and he probably said something like this: "We're very thankful you're on board this airline. We realize you have a choice when you fly. We're glad you're flying with us. And we understand that the Holy Land is somewhere over in that direction. And so I'm going to aim the plane that way. I'm pretty certain that will get us there." And then you hear him throttling up the engine. Do you feel really confident at that moment? Or are you thinking, I wonder if there's somebody else that could give us navigation directions?
You know, I'm an about kind of guy. It's about this much expense. It's about this much time. It's about, no, that does not work in navigation. I want somebody that's like you, that's a doctor of that particular subject and knows what he's doing, it's got to be precise.
I mean, so like when you're doing like a project there in the yard or on the house, and so like, do you take a board off and pass it over and say, shave a little more off? I think just a little bit more and it might fit this time. Is that the way you measure it and cut? Or, I mean, are you a little more precise than that? It's only a foundation. Don't worry about how off could it be, right?
Right. I took wood shop when I was in high school, or actually I think it was junior high, but nevertheless, I took wood shop. You know what I learned after all of that time sanding and cutting, and we didn't varnish back then, but we used lacquer. And you know what I learned? Once you cut a board, you can't stretch it out again. If you cut it too short, you can't stretch it out again. So yeah,
it doesn't work that way, huh?
They say measure twice, cut once. Well, there's a reason that carpenters tell you that. So yeah, it needs to be precise, particularly if it's a weight bearing board.
No, I never had the carpenters tell me that. They wished me a Merry Christmas. They've done songs about love, but maybe I'm thinking of different carpenters. I don't know. But I tell you what, if you really think about it, to go back to the lesson, as Christians, we know that we have Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We know we have the very Spirit of God indwelling us. He also seals our salvation, so we cannot lose our salvation. We have God the Father that we honor, we worship. And in fact, it's amazing how the three persons of the Godhead function together.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that is amazing to me is that he has saved us. He has given us life and life more abundantly. But at the end of the day, what is there if we do not have purpose, direction? And that's so incredible. You know, I think I mentioned to you yesterday, so one of the things that I found curious is, you know, a phrase that's used sometimes, one-hit wonders, you know, and I glanced over on the internet for a little bit, a couple of one-hit wonders, Mambo Number 5, and I remember that song when it was very popular, because now in retrospect, I'm so grateful it was a one-hit wonder. It was bad enough hearing it. But Stranger on the Shore, I was surprised. I mentioned that song earlier to you, and you actually knew it. I thought I was the only person that knew it, but it was a big hit back in 1962. Yeah. It's just a very haunting melody. And, you know, you have songs that are like that, but that is not a description of God in any way, shape, or form, because he's not just salvation. He's not just creation. God is anything but a one-hit wonder. It constantly amazes me, the things that God does in our lives and in this universe. You mentioned earlier the tolerances are flawless in the creation. And yet his patience with us, his creation, is also amazing, because, you know, our ability to get it wrong sometimes is way off the scales. And yet he is so kind and so patient and so forgiving and loving. And he gives us guidance, this wonderful, powerful tool. I said I wouldn't want to try to go somewhere without GPS. And there's this other navigation, long before GPS was invented, called the Bible. This basic instructions before leaving Earth, as a good pastor friend of mine said, you know, the Bible. Because that is where we get our sense of instruction, our direction. If you will, this is our guide for life. So let me show you what the Bible has to say about that, how we get our direction. Most basic, Psalm 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. You know, we talk about the darkness of space. I remember working at a facility on one occasion, a government facility, had a huge, what they call, buffer zone. And so here was the base in the middle. But out beyond the base, once you passed the gate, you went another 31 miles before you could get to the base, because they had some things on that base that were highly explosive. And they figured out 31-mile barrier, and the community will be safe, which is a great comfort if you're in the community, but not much of a comfort if you're on the base, because you realize, okay, you know, they'll be picking up pieces of me 31 miles away or less. But when I went out there on a night shift, it was always amazing to me because it was this road wound through the country getting there. And, you know, your headlights only went out so far, and then there was just utter, complete darkness. And it's like the deers in that area sort of knew that's a safe space, no hunters in the buffer zone. But that also meant you're flying down the highway, you know, with headlights that go out so many hundred feet and knowing that that's not going to keep a deer from running up on the road right beside you. And so you need a light to your path. You're very grateful to know that the path is lit up. And how much more is the Bible a guide for our life? Because, you know, I can look on a map. I can see the path through the 31 miles. And I've driven enough times I can find my way, especially considering a couple of those roads were the only roads heading in that direction. And so it was a little hard to get lost on a road with no exits. But some people can do it. I've noticed that. But as you're going through life, don't you want something that will light your path? Something that will say, go this way. And if you didn't have God through His Word giving us those directions, giving us a sense of peace, you're headed the right way, what would it be like to try to walk through life? And I think sometimes that's why we have so many people, old and young, but I think especially we've got a generation coming up this way, maybe two, that are really struggling with their futures because of the fact that they have gone through a home system that said, we're not going to force you to go to church because we want you to make a decision on your own later. And you have that same group that says that, by the way, when you get in the school system, let's not talk about God after all, because after all, we don't want to force that on you. You're entitled to your opinion. Mm. You know, like being on the runway tarmac ready to take off, I don't want the pilot to have an opinion about where he was going to go. I want him to know where he's going to go. I want him to know the dynamics of that aircraft because he's had the training. I want him to know how to navigate and find where he's going. And, yeah, call me old-fashioned. I want him to have a map. I want the navigator on board to know I can find the Holy Land from anywhere. You know, because otherwise what you really have is a pilot who can find the ground from anywhere. No, I want somebody who can get me to the right destination. And my right destination is anywhere God wants me to be. And for that, I need a light unto my path. How about you, Brother Jim? What do you need?
Pastor, I think it's quite evident that God did not expect us to just randomly go through life. And I've got to admit, there was a long period of my life that it was all about me. I got caught up in the same torrent of water that others do. You had to go out, establish a name for yourself, start making some big bucks so that you could show off to everybody that you've got the big house, the big car, the luxury vacations. Pastor, it seems just natural, doesn't it? You just get caught up in it, and then when reality sets in, and it always does, I think there's very, very few that escape the reality of life, and that is that things change. Your viewpoint is going to change. You're going to hear and follow different people, and then one day you wake up and you look at yourself and you say, this job is not as fulfilling. There's a lot of cutthroat. I'm not making the money I thought I would make. Oh, and by the way, that luxury car is rusting, and I can't get my money back out of it. Oh, and the house. I need a new roof. Things begin to decay. Things begin to rust. Things begin to fall apart. Your marriage is strained. Your relationships, because you're out there running against the wind. There was a great song about that. And just simply, you wake up one day, and you suddenly say, I need a Savior. I need help. God, help me. It's not working out. My health has been compromised. And so you're right. We're not left, thank God. We're not left to our own device. God has given us, as you called it earlier, basic instructions before leaving Earth. Bible, B-I-B-L-E. Basic instructions before leaving Earth. Why did he do that? Just to hear himself talk? Just to hear himself instruct? No. He did it because you need it, and you don't know it yet, perhaps. Maybe you're out there today, and you don't know that you need a Savior. We hope we'll show you out of God's Word that He thinks you do.
That's so true. You know, I couldn't help think when you said, did he say it just to be heard? You know, I sometimes wondered, apparently humanity has been slow learners. Because as he said that, I was thinking of the number of times in the Old Testament. He says, behold, I am God. It's like they're not getting it yet. I better tell them one more time, you know.
Right.
And you know, the amazing thing is it hasn't changed. There's still people that don't connect that he is God. They try to run their lives in their own strength. And, you know, like I said, we did an injustice to a couple of generations because we told them, you can figure it out for yourself. You don't need God. And we do. You know, learning to ask for help when you need it is not weakness. It's wisdom. And recognizing the fact that you need the input of your Creator, the one who designed not only this universe, but created us and spoke into us the breath of life. We need him. You know, one of my favorite doctors growing up, I recall the story of how my mother was troubled by something, and he told her, said, do you believe in God? And you've known me. Trust me, me and God are a great team. But truthfully, I lean more on him than he leans on me. And, you know, I thought that is a good approach for a physician, to know that they trust God and to realize they study, they prepare, like it all depends on them. And at the end of the day, they're so grateful that they can depend on God. That's the doctor you want. That's the one that'll, you know, be there and with almost a supernatural wisdom. In fact, strike the almost, it definitely is a supernatural wisdom when they can lean on God as they do what they do. And so, you know, I look at Proverbs 6, 22 and 23. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. What is the it? It's the Bible, God's Word. It will lead you. When you sleep, it shall keep you. I love that. That because haven't you had those times in life that from a human perspective, you know, you can think of all the reasons this isn't going to work. I don't have enough money. I've got not enough time. Or I have enough time that the money's going to run out before I get to the destination. You know, we have those moments. So how do you rest? How do you sleep at night? By learning to turn it over and say, God, I don't have the answer. I can't figure it out. I'm giving it back to you. I was a fool to pick it up and run with it myself. God, help me. And you roll over and you go to sleep. You see, that sometimes is a powerful witness to people, the calmness of a believer, the calm witness of a Christian, because the lost person knows this is a tough situation. How can you be so calm? Do you not realize what's going on? And, you know, we realize, but one of the things we realize is that we've got a track history with God, and time and time and time again, he's been our deliverer. Now, I remember some years ago, if I've told this story before, forgive me for repeating myself, but I recall I was working at a government agency, and I was the systems analyst. And of all the little assignments that I had, one that was sort of a little unusual is that I was the voice of our hold music and announcer. So, I mean, I fed the music in that on a, you know, a pre-recorded loop. So it would play all day long. So if you called in and you had to wait for something, you hold that music in the background. But you'd hear an opening voice. It's explained that, you know, all the people are busy this time. They'll get with you, blah, blah, blah. We've all heard those kind of messages. And all of us have been irritated at them at some point. Well, we actually had fire alarms go off. And for all we knew, perhaps it was a fire. This was not a test kind of moment. And so we were shutting the place down. We're asking all of our employees to, you know, exit the area, get out. And it dawned on me, said, wait a minute, we can't just simply leave the phones off. We have to put an announcement out there. People will know what's going on. And so I just grabbed up my little mic and I punched up my code where I can record the announcement. And that's what I did. And then we finished exiting and got everybody out safely. A little while later, we come back into the workspace. It was a false alarm. Some workmen had, you know, made some smoke accidentally, and somehow that, you know, got into a sensor and said, hey, we're burning down. One of the first phone calls I had after getting back to my workspace was from our branch office, who in turn had had a call from the division, who in turn had had a call from the director's office. And they had been getting phone calls, and they had placed phone calls and found something, said, you probably want to change your announcement, but please listen to it before you change it. I thought, what a bizarre thing to say. So I dialed in to listen to the announcement, and really this is what was happening. You see, my office was located right by an exit. And so in the background, you heard fire alarm bells going off. You heard buzzers sounding. You heard people yelling to each other, get out, get out. We're on fire. We're going to die. And meanwhile, thank you for calling the offices of. We realize that we are unable to take your call at this time. I mean, it was just total calm, peace, you know, just like I'd done it 100 times before. And it never dawned on me that that must sound pretty different to have one person think, thank you for calling us at this time. We'll need you to call back in about an hour, you know, while other people in the background are screaming and yelling and trying to bust through a door. And I thought about that so often because I realized that's the Christian walk. The rest of the world is starting to see, I don't know about this future thing. I don't know how I'm going to face eternity. And here's this calm voice in the background saying, he promised to never leave me or forsake me. He promised that he'll go through the valley with me. He promised that, you know, if I would confess him as my Savior and Lord, that he will be with me. You see, those assurances that we have in the Bible, like this right here, when thou goest, it shall lead thee. When you sleep, it shall keep thee. When you awake, it shall talk with thee. You know that old song, have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about your trials. He'll comfort you. He'll guide you. He'll give you wisdom. Verse 23, for the commandment is a lamp and the law is a light. Reproof of instruction is a way of life. First time you hear that, reproof and instruction is a way of life, doesn't sound good. But it is good. When they launched our people into the space that went to the moon, you know, it's amazing the number of course corrections they made. And I'm thinking, moon's a pretty big spot. How do you miss it? Well, compared to space, it's a pretty tiny dot. And the truth of the matter is, you launch out in that direction, and you're making perpetual course corrections to make sure you land at the right spot. And as I go through life, I want the God that gives me the freedom to move, but the wisdom to ask him for direction. And let him give me reproofs, course corrections, as I go through life. Jim, isn't it an awesome thing to have a God who not only so loves you, not only gives you eternal life, but cares enough about how you're going through the journey?
Pastor, I think it is so reassuring because, you know, we're called to be the spiritual head of the household. Now, I can say that quickly, but that was not easy for me. I remember at one of our events at Mom and Dad's house, either Thanksgiving or Christmas, my father said, Jim, would you lead us in prayer? I was so scared and somehow made it through the prayer. It got easier as I did it more often. And then I woke up one day and I realized it's pretty natural now. And the reason is I think we all try to do things in our own strength. I think that's normal because that's the society we live in. But isn't it great when you were studying, Pastor, before you got your first doctorate? Wasn't it great to know that God's not letting you do this on your own? You tried it on your own, and if you're like me, you failed miserably several times. But isn't it wonderful how God will get you back up on your feet, dust you off, and put you back out there and say, son, I need time with you so I can show you more so we can avoid this in the future. So I just think it's wonderful to know that I don't have to do it in my own strength because I've tried that. I'm inadequate. And that was hard to admit that You know, I'm in competition all the time. That drives me and drives others. And it's so nice to know and to hear our Heavenly Father say, "Son, I didn't create you to handle all that life is going to throw at you." That takes me to do that. That takes a parent. And I think of my young grandkids, they want to do things when we're out playing soccer and things. They want to run and play and have a good time. But you know what? There's a parking lot out there, and people are coming in and out all the time. I have to be there. My daughter, my son have to be there in order to make sure that they don't run into traffic because they're having fun. They don't realize what I can see. Now, how do I see it? Because my father taught me. My mom taught me. So I think, Pastor, it's a wonderful thing to come to the realization that, yeah, my arm is too short, but God, your hand is never too short. Isn't that interesting?
It really is. And, you know, you made a great observation there because there is a matter of perspective taking place. You not only have the experience, but you have an elevation. You have a height that time and experience has given you. So the child is not looking up out across the road. They're just looking at whatever is light and exciting right in front of them. And you as an adult, you're looking about, you're looking over into other areas they're not even seeing. Mm-hmm. And somehow we have people who don't want to listen to God, and we forget he's bigger. You know, he's big enough. It's like the old song says, he's big enough to hang the stars in the sky, but also small enough to be in my heart. And God is big enough to be able to look out there and tell you that there's danger ahead. I want you walking this course. It's a little danger in the path I'm directing you to, but don't worry. Because I'm going to be with you, and I'll never leave you or forsake you. Psalm 119:11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. We have the wisdom when we begin to memorize his instructions to make it a part of our life. You know, we were talking before the broadcast this evening about the fact one of the things that's always amazed me is I remember kids I knew in high school that these guys, you know, they'd be in a history class and they'd say, no way, I can't remember that. I'm not good with names. I can't do this. I can't do that. And you'd get in math class. Numbers, that's foreign language to me. I can't learn no numbers. And, you know, you put them out on the football field and they're rattling off numbers to each other and they've got, you know, all these plays. And ask them about some archaic game that took place in 1957. And they can give you the weather report, the weather conditions, who was on the field, who was waiting to come on the field, what the play was in the whatever episode. You know, they just have all these stats dancing in their head. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, you're not good with numbers, but you know all those statistics. And if you ask them statistics, they don't know statistics. What is that? But they know the sporting statistics, you know. They know the names of people that pulled some play so many years ago, but they haven't figured out, you know, this Columbus fella, what part of Ohio was he from and what did he do and why they named the city after him. You know, they don't get any of that, you know. So I think it boils down to where are your priorities as to what do you know? And again, I say wisdom dictates that you better know God. You better know his word. Because it is your guide for life. It can keep you from sin. It can let you know this is right, this is wrong. If you don't know where you stand with God, you don't know. If you don't have a sense of his direction, then you have no sense of direction at all when you really think about that. Jim, would you read Psalm 19:11 and give me your thoughts on that as you read it?
Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and keeping of them there is great reward. Isn't that interesting? Not only do we get admonition, direction, and encouragement, but there's a reward. What's the reward?
Exactly. You get out on the highway, and you're thinking, because you got that new car with that great engine, and, you know, it's just got that wonderful sound. Yeah, I used to like it when we had Dodge Vipers in the area. We had a few on the roads, and, you know, very inexpensive car, give or take a few hundred thousand. And I remember on one occasion, I was sitting at a traffic light, and I felt something. And I looked up in the rearview mirror. It was like watching Jurassic Park because my mirror was actually shaking. And I was having trouble seeing what was behind me because of the mirror vibrating. And I turned around and looked, and it was a Dodge Viper. And he was just idling. He wasn't revving up the engine.
Boy.
But, I mean, it was shaking stuff around you. And, you know, that's the great reward because we have that sense. We want to just let loose on the power and just fly down the road. But listening to God, finding out, I know it's amazing what I built you for and what you can do, but I also know that there's a curve up ahead, and I need you to slow it down. Say, is God giving you direction? Son, I need you to stop up ahead. And you're sitting there, but God, I love the sense of this freedom that I have and the grace of God, and I can do anything. I feel totally unlimited. He says, I know that, son, but there's somebody who's hurting just up ahead, and you're going to need to stop there and spend some time with that person. You see, that's what happens when you're listening to God and not to the world. Think of the number of people in this life that you encounter that are hurting and need a word of encouragement, that need to know that there is a God and there is grace and mercy and salvation in Him. If we don't learn to listen to God, to let Him direct our paths, we'll miss the great reward of being used of God to literally see a life changed. It's not what we are doing. The personal worker knows it's not them, but they know from experience God's word can change a life. God's word can heal a life and can take you from the pain and the heartache of this world to the peace that passes all understanding. We got time. We can sit here and talk about a bunch of stuff. But that bunch of stuff is not going to take you where you need to go if you do not have the peace of God in your heart right now, this very minute. You need the guide for life, God's word, to show you how you can have a peace that passes all understanding. Brother Jim, would you take a moment and share from God's word how a person really can know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior?
Absolutely. And Pastor, I think 2 Peter 1:4 kind of gives us the preamble here. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Isn't that a great preamble to chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, the book of Romans? Paul tells us, how do we get saved? And if you're out there tonight, I remember Dr. Billy Graham saying many times at the end of his telecast, at the end of his evangelistic presentation, he would say, you may be in a bar tonight. He knew people too. You may be in a motel. You may be across the world. You may be on a trip somewhere. If you feel tonight that something is missing, you're restless, you're scared, your marriage failed, your health is not good, you have no money, you have no hope, what happens? That's what it takes sometimes to get my attention, to get your attention. I don't think it's happenstance. I don't think it's accident. I think you are where you are today, recognizing finally the pressure's great enough. I need help. I need a Savior. So Paul tells us, verse 9, chapter 10, of the book of Romans, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Can't be that easy, but it wasn't easy for our Savior. His blood on the cross covers your sin, past, present, and future. You have to step out in faith. You can't prove it. You can't do some mathematics and come to this decision. You have to step out in faith. We were talking last night in our theology class. Somebody was saying, but who created God? and that circular argument, you know, God has always existed. You have to accept that on faith. And you have to accept that Jesus died for you. When you accept that, when you step out in faith and said, Lord, I have sinned. That's confession. I have sinned, and I know that I need a Savior. Then Jesus comes into your heart, and it's interesting. That decision of faith, that stepping out in faith, all of a sudden, you know you did the right thing because that Holy Spirit comes into your heart, and you recognize there's something to this. They know what they're talking about. Thank you for showing me this. He goes on in verse 10 of chapter 10, Romans, for with the heart, that's emotional, with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So if you've stepped out tonight and said, okay, I give up, I'm a failure, I can't do it anymore on my own, I'm going to just take this leap of faith and I'm going to accept Jesus Christ. When you do that, he will give you the peace that we've tried to describe. We've tried to come up with the right words, but the best words are surpasses understanding. Well, I don't know how it comes about, but there is a peace that comes over you and you know you've done the right thing. And if you've done that tonight, we would love to hear from you. Send us a little email, ask@askthepastornow.com. Say, I listen to you guys, I got saved, and I want you to know that God's word is exactly what I needed. So, Pastor, let's say that tonight they stepped out in faith, they accepted Jesus, the Christ, and they have that feeling now, they know they've put their weight down on the one thing we can count on, that's God's love and provisions. But then they mess up a year from now. Is this something I've got to do periodically? Ever so often, do I have to get a booster shot? You remember those? Do I have to do that each and every time I mess up? Do I have to go back and say, Father, I've sinned, I want to be saved again? Is that something that we have to do?
No. In fact, it's interesting we use the phrase born again because you've already experienced the physical birth, and now you've had the spiritual birth when you're born again. But it's funny, nobody ever asks if they have to get reborn physically over and over and over again. I don't know why they think they have to get spiritually reborn again and again and again. The Bible is very complete. You're saved by the very grace of God. You're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Do you really think it's so weak that it can't keep you as well? In fact, the Word of God says that nothing, neither life nor death, that's pretty extreme, or angels or principalities or powers, and my favorite part, things present or things to come, can separate you from the love of God. So even if there's nothing today that could do it, nothing tomorrow is going to be invented that can keep you from the grace of God. You've come to know him as Savior and Lord. And part of him being Lord over your life is that you're going to learn to turn more and more things over to him. Your eternal life has been turned over. Now you're going to learn day by day things to share him with. Yeah, isn't it amazing? Sometimes people that claim to be Christian, you know, they'll trust God with their eternity, but they have trouble trusting him with between now and payday. You know, right now this is rubber meets the road. I need to deal with life. No, life is life. Period. If you can trust him with eternity, you can trust him with this evening or tomorrow morning. That meeting that you're not sure about, that event you're not comfortable about, you can trust him. You know, Psalm 32:8, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with my eye. Don't you like God? You know, if you don't have to wear glasses and you got like 20/20 vision, you think you're pretty well off. God can see the end from the beginning. What does he have? Something tells me it's more than 20/20. It's better than that. Because he can see the end. And he can guide you and instruct you and tell you, stay on course. You know, it's like the aircraft that's going through the heavy fog and they're relying on the tower. You know, tell us, is it really clear ahead? Yes. How much further have I got to go? Am I at the right altitude? All those things that they can't see just yet. Their radar isn't up to snuff. they're depending on someone bigger than them who can see and tell where they're at. And you and I need somebody bigger than us. We need God. And that's not a weakness. That's a strength. That's an amazing thing to realize, to get a hold of. Isaiah 30, verse 21, your ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it. When you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left, isn't it nice to know the Bible as our God for life, as our guide for life, that God is going to give you directions as specifically as go this way, a little more to the right, a little more to the left. And just like that air or that spacecraft going to the moon, you know, that had those course corrections, subtle little things, but it kept them going to their destination. And it looked like they're heading the right way, but somebody had to say, just a few more points this way. And you may think you've got it all right, but God can give you the course corrections to make it right. And as you travel through life as a born-again Christian, do trust the Bible, God's Word. Take it into you so that you don't have issues with sin. Take it into you so you know as you make a decision, this would be honoring God because I know what He says about this subject, you say. And then also to know that He'll surprise you sometimes with the course corrections, because I genuinely believe that if you're following God and doing His perfect will for your life, that sometimes He's going to ask you to come off to the right a little bit here on the shoulder because there's somebody who's hurting, and you can touch that life and you can make a difference. Jim, I know that you and Sonia have had such moments in touching lives, and just offer a word of encouragement. We only have about a minute left, but offer some encouragement to people who are a little skittish about stepping out and helping the total stranger.
Well, you know, it's interesting you bring that up because Sonia befriended a homeless man at an intersection, and it's so interesting because she wouldn't give him money, but she'd give him a snack, and every time she did, she wrote scripture on the sack and gave it to him. He now has permanent housing, and he still has a lot of problems being on the street, but he has permanent housing. Something made her do that, and of course she gave it to God. God knew that this man needed a encounter. And I love Joshua 8:1. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. The book that God has given us to guide us is not happenstance. It has and promises success, true success. Right, Pastor?
Absolutely. And that is the great comfort for a believer. And if you are still on the line trying to decide, I don't know if I really want to become a Christian. Well, maybe you don't. But let me ask you, how do you feel about peace? How do you feel about peace that passes all understanding? Maybe that sounds good to you. Think and process that when you're trying to decide, would you like to know Jesus Christ as your own Lord and Savior? And believer, don't be afraid to step out by faith. The same God you trust for eternity, you can trust with tomorrow. So thank you for being with us, listening. Thank you, Brother Jim, for being a part of the broadcast.
Absolutely. God bless, and return again next Thursday for Ask the Pastor Now.
Thank you for joining us on Ask the Pastor. If you have a question or a comment for the program, just email us at question@askthepastornow.com. We will try to respond to you either by email or answer your question on air during a future broadcast. Again, that email address is question@askthepastornow.com. Now, on behalf of Jim Simmons, Charles Lyons, and the whole Ask the Pastor team, we invite you to explore our website for great resources. You can also hear previous broadcasts as archives at askthepastornow.com. So, until next time, read, study, pray, and prepare for your life of faith and freedom.